ಸಂಚಿನ್ನಸ್ತತ್ಕೃತೋ ಮಹಾನ್ ಋಷಯೋಪಿ ಹಿ ಮುಹ್ಯಂತಿ ಯತ್ರ ನೇಂದ್ರಿಯ ವೃತ್ತಯಃ.
ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ
This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto, and Prabhu was lecturing on this morning, I think, or just before this. So the speaker is saying that there are some doubts. I have some doubts. I had some doubts. And these doubts have been cleared by your instructions. My dear Brahmana, there are contradictions between your instructions and those of my spiritual teachers who engaged me in fruitive activities. I now can understand the distinction between devotional service, knowledge, and renunciation. I had some doubts about them, but you have now very kindly dissipated all those doubts. I can now understand how even the great sages are bewildered by the real purpose of life. Of course, there is no question of sense gratification. Rishayopihi mohyanti. Even the great sages are bewildered here. The great sages A great devotee described the rishis as research scholars. Na savrishir yasya mato na binnam. You know that verse? He is not a rishi who doesn't have a different opinion. There's a verse from Mahabharata. Na savrishir yasya matam na binnam. Whose mata is not binna, he's not a rishi. And you can practically see that if you go to the university, every research scholar has to establish his own opinion. If he doesn't establish his view, then he's not really considered having established himself as a research scholar. He must establish his view, and the view must be different. If there's no difference in his view, then he's just copying what someone else says. Then he's just a teacher. He's just a pedagogue. He's not a research scholar. A research scholar, Rishi, this verse from the Shiva, na asau rishir yasya matam la binnam, from the Mahabharata. So, sometimes it's very confusing. What is it? Is it Veda Vibinna? Sartopratisha? Shri Shutayo Vibhinna Nasavra Shri Yasya Matam Labhinnam. It's very difficult to find out the truth because the Shastras are many. Logic always rests on some base, but the base is always shifting. So it's very difficult to establish anything by logic. The scriptures are so many. The sages, the research scholars all disagree. Even among the acharyas from one sampradaya, even in one sampradaya, the acharyas, there's a slight difference. And then in the different sampradayas, many differences. So what's the truth? So this is, no wonder there's some doubt. One time there was a teacher, a Chinese teacher, came to New York. He was a Taoist teacher. And there were many people listening to him. And afterwards someone came up and said, I've always wondered what the truth was. There's so many religions. And he says, I'm confused. He says, no wonder you're confused. Of course you're confused. There's so many religions, so many teachers, so many philosophies, so many views. Anyone who's searching must be a little confused because there's so many views. Now he was saying that there were some doubts. about the distinction between devotional service, knowledge, and renunciation. So these are very prime topics, very vital, very vital principles, universal principles: devotion, renunciation, and knowledge. What's the relationship between these, and what's the distinction between them? So, from the devotional point of view, from the point of view of this sampradaya, from the point of view of Srimad Bhagavatam, let us say, there's one, the two verses I can tell to you now. I can explain them. There's one verse in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhaktif paresho viraktiranyatra. What's it called? Bhaktif paresha anubhavo viraktiranyatra eshatrika ekakalak. It says that there are three topics: bhakti, or devotion; paresha anubhava, means the realization of the absolute; and viraktir anyatra, renunciation for things elsewhere. These three. Esha trika, this triad, this trio, bhakti, parishanubhava, and viraktir anyatra, ekakalaha, they come at the same time. They are simultaneous. Now, this is a very mysterious verse. What does that mean? Bhaktik Pareshana Bhavaviraktir Anyatra Esha Trika Eka Kala. They occur at the same time. The second part of the verse goes, just as one who is eating food, he experiences at the same time Pushti, Tushti, and Shuddhapaya. He experiences, he gets satisfaction, he gets nutrition, and he gets, his hunger goes away with every bite. Just as one who is eating, with every bite, he feels satisfied, he feels energized, tushti, pushti, he feels nourished, and also kshudapaya, his appetite is going away. So just as a person who's eating in this way is experiencing these things, so at the same time, bhakti, parishanubhava, and at the same time. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, now always we see these three things. If we have our eyes open and we're a religious inquiring about Dharma, inquiring about what religion is, then we find these three things. In some person we find they're very devoted. In another person, we find they're very keen after knowledge. In another person, we find that they're very disciplined and able to be renounced. And in fact, there are three, they even become three different margas, three different paths. The path of bhakti, and the path of jnana, and the path of renunciation. A kind of a yoga. And even in the Bhagavad Gita, we'll find that the paths are developed to some extent. But this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam says that they all occur simultaneously. So the purport is that when one, the three things are like a simultaneous, like an equilateral triangle. And the starting point is bhakti. And when one actually begins to culture devotion in the heart, then automatically, at the same time, simultaneously, realization of the absolute, which is the end of knowledge, and renunciation for everything else, automatically manifest themselves. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who's one of the acharyas in this parampara, he also comments on this verse. He says in devotional service there's one big secret, one big rahasya. And he said it's this, that not only does real, genuine devotion, actual realization, anubhava, of the Supreme, and genuine renunciation, not only do they occur at the same time, but they occur in the same amount. They occur in the same proportion. So if you look at someone who is not really spiritually developed, you will find that they are not an equilateral triangle, a different kind of triangle. One angle is very narrow, one arrow is very wide. They have a lot of, they're showing bhakti, but their knowledge, very small. And maybe renunciation, also small. And someone else is showing a lot of knowledge, but the heart, not to any real devotion. And renunciation, no. And someone else is very renounced, but they become hard. The heart, it becomes hard. And also, knowledge may not be there. But the real development is not only that these three elements, these prime elements, occur at the same time, but they occur in the same proportion. And then Bhaktivinoda says, if they don't, then you should know that at the root, there's something fishy, something wrong. That means at the root, that it didn't, the creeper didn't start from the right place. You know, that bhakti is compared to a plant, an internal plant in the heart. Bhakti lata. It's compared to a lata, to a vine that's growing. And that vine grows from a seed. And the seed is given from a realized spiritual master. When he gives that seed, then the plant begins to grow. Now, yata vriksh, yata bijam, tata vriksham. As the seed, so the tree. You know, if you plant an acorn, you get oak tree. You don't get birch. You don't get banyan. So, seeds are different. And from a master who is realized, who has a genuine element of devotion, he'll have genuine renunciation, he'll have genuine knowledge, some knowledge. When he gives you that seed, and that starts to grow, then you will begin to experience this. So everything depends upon the seed. And also the process of growing. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it said that the plant in the heart, as it grows, also many weeds start to grow along with it. Because we're not in a purified state. We still have our minds. We are plants also. They've grown up, watered by the modes of three modes of material nature. We are programmed by our DNA to be semi-human, semi-animal. So at every moment we have two entities within us. The lower entity is the animal, the animalistic part of us, and then we have the higher part trying to be human. Really human means to be a devotee. And we are struggling to be human. There are different ways to look at this. There are different views of it. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is Srila Prabhupada's guru, used to call his institution a hospital. He established temples and mutts, and he used to call them Gaudiya Hospital. Because we are accepting sick people. Everyone who comes to the door is a sick person. What's the disease? Hridrog. Heart disease. Because we have been covered, have our consciousness is covered over by the modes of material nature. We don't know who we are. Sanatana Goswami came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first thing he asked is, Kami. I'm supposed to be a learned scholar, but I don't even know who I am. Who am I? So these questions are our cry, the cry of the soul out of the darkness of ignorance. We are wandering in this world. groping to find our way. There are so many searchlights here. Searchlights, searchlights, lighting up this small portion or that small portion. But actually, this is not daylight. In the Bhagavad Gita, you know, there's a verse that's like the sun lights up the daytime. When realization comes, it's like true light. We see everything in its real perspective. Now we only see from the shadows. And there are so many searchlights from this kind of knowledge, that kind of knowledge. There's the very partial views of reality. But real reality, that's something different. Real reality, it can't be glimpsed. There's an example that was given by Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master. There were two gentlemen. They went out to try to see the sun before sunrise. Trying to see the sun, you know, the comparison is between before the sun rises, if you light one lamp, and then you light another lamp, then you light another lamp, and you can say, our place is illuminated. This is kind of like our partial knowledge. Then the sun rises, and everything is can be seen. This is the difference between our partial scholastic knowledge and the real realization. So, what's talked about here is distinction, understanding distinction between devotional service, knowledge, and renunciation. I had some doubts about them, but you have now very kindly dissipated all these doubts. I can now understand how even the great sages are bewildered by the real purpose of life. I was speaking the other day about the first verse of the first sutra of Brahma Sutra, Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. The first two words are very important. Ata, ataha. Now, therefore. Brahma Jigyasa. The desire to know what is God. Now, therefore, means that at a certain point in time, after something else, the desire to know God arose. When is that point in time? And what caused that desire? Because if you take all the entities in the world, all the human billions of people, how many people really want to know what reality is? Everyone's busy. There are so many things. From moment to moment, we're thinking about this, about that, about this. So many things go on in our minds, filling our minds. And then some person, somewhere, sometime, this a tremendous desire to know what reality is occurs. It happens. When is that? When does that happen? I look at myself and I think, do I really want to know what reality is? Because if someone really wants to know, then they go out and they spend the rest of their they sell everything they have. It says in the Bible, if you could get the one pearl, you take everything in your house and sell it to get that one pearl. So the reality, who we really are, our original constitutional relationship with God, the relationship with the material world, all that knowledge, to really understand that. But very few people have the desire. Because again, we're so busy with so many things. We don't want to take the time. It means how strong is our desire? Just this word is so important. First is sutra, Brahma Sutra. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now, some flame in someone, somewhere there's a spark in their heart. Some spark to know. Everyone else, no spark. The house is dark. Somewhere, a spark. I want to know who I am. A burning desire. So we must forget that Krishna consciousness, as Srila Prabhupada taught, is a little bit different from the notion of religion. There are many different faiths, but the science of Bhagavad Gita you can find in just the very first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. It's based upon Atma, Atma Vigyan, Atma Vivek, Atman Atma Viveka. It's the very first chapter, it's the subject of the first chapter. The discrimination, what is Atma and what is not Atma. That's the subject of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Primary thing, from first discussion, when Arjuna brings out his problems to Krishna, how can I fight? He says, you're talking like someone who knows something, but actually, you can see that no learned person, no one who actually knew anything would speak the way you do. Because he knows that the soul is the basis of everything, and that the soul can't die. The Atma, and then he describes the nature of the Atma. We must not forget that Krishna consciousness is based upon who we really are within, and the relationship between who we really are with what the Supreme Reality is. It's cosmic. It's scientific. It's just it's the way the cosmos works. Everything else is kind of filling in the picture. Someone has faith in this, someone has faith. Well, a lot of times it's sentiment. And also, people want something out of it. Everywhere you go, people are praying for this, praying for that, praying for this. Yeah, prayer can be done. But Krishna consciousness is much more than that, is much deeper than this surface giving and taking, praying and receiving, is going to a mandir. We have to realize that each spirit, human body is a mandir, and within it is the Atma and the Paramatma, and there's a relationship. So Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada always called it a vijnana, savijnana. It's a science. My dear Brahmana, there are contradictions between your instructions and those of my spiritual teachers who engaged me in fruitive activities. I described here the other day, we see these some of the passages from even from Bhagavad Gita. Pushpitam vacham. There, Krishna tells to Arjuna, there are many flowery words of the Vedas which are enticing you to make this a heaven on earth. You can be, you can have this, you can have that. Have a good son, have a good child, have a good house, have money, position, all these things. By developing a relationship with the demigods. Because behind everything in the universe, there's some personality. And if we think, what's the most efficient way to become healthy or wealthy, is to have a good relationship with the demigods. Because we ask that they can give. But this is kind of a lure away from my real identity. As much as we culture ourselves in this world, then It becomes kind of an insulation against who I really am. So, and there's so many things. Prabhupada ends this purport. Unless one is very, very fortunate, he does not take to devotional service. Even the so-called learned Vedic scholars are bewildered by devotional service. They are generally attracted to the rituals for sense gratification. In devotional service, there is no sense gratification, but only transcendental loving service to the Lord. So I described the other day, you know, in devotional service, which is the real atmavritti, to enter into devotional service requires a complete change of consciousness. It requires you to reverse your consciousness. At this moment, the primary motive in our minds is to enjoy. I am a bhogi. And through my senses, one by one, moment by moment, I try to see, try to taste, to hear. In the Upanishads, it's described as someone in a chariot just being pulled along, and the senses, the horses are running through the streets with no reins, no whip, no direction. And each horse is a sense. And we are just under the influence of the environment around us. All listening, seeing, and then we're incorporating that into our programming, and we're going on in life and then dying and then coming back again. Just a life of sensual experience. And then our appetite for hearing something or seeing something or tasting, it's constantly becoming increased. Once we taste it, then we want to taste again, and then again and again. So appetites are becoming increased. But devotional service means a complete flip. It means instead of being the enjoyer, to see myself as the enjoyed. Instead of trying to take everything for myself, I just try to be a servant. Serving the enjoyment of Krishna. Complete change. If that's not there, then devotional service is not devotional service. It's just another kind of kriya. So here Prabhupada says, the Vedic scholars, consequently so-called priests and guests, do not very much like devotional service. Because for them, being a priest is a kind of a job. And no one works without reward. So priests also have their reward. They have their side benefits. The Brahmanas, the priests, have been against this Krishna consciousness movement since it began with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started this movement, the priestly class lodged complaints to the Qazi, the magistrate of the Mohammedan government. So this is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya was chanting in the streets. He brought everyone together to chant. And the priests thought, if this takes over, where people can just come and directly can praise God together, who will need us to do rituals? What will become of us? What about our livelihoods? So they made a protest to the Qazi, and therefore the Qazi tried to stop Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to lead a civil disobedience movement against the propaganda of the so-called followers of Vedic principles. These people are described as karma jada smartas, which indicates that they are priests engaged in ritualistic ceremonies. It is here stated that such people become bewildered. Rishayopihi muhyanti. To save oneself from the hands of these karmaja, the smartest one should strictly follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of God. Sarva dharman parityajya, mam ekam sharanam vraja, aham phang sarva papebhyo moksha yajami ma shuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful action. Do not fear. So, what does that mean, sarva dharman parityajya? This is the apex instruction of the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya, mam ekam sharanam vraja. Now, what does that mean, sarva dharman parityajya? Actually, surrender to God is very easy. It doesn't require any external thing. One time, some people used to come to Srila Prabhupada in New York. They'd say, now, I know you're speaking to these people. This is just the elementary knowledge. Well, what are the secrets? We don't have any secrets. But there's only one big secret. The secret is just surrender to Krishna. That's the big secret. It's so simple. But people can see it. So many things to do, so many mantras to chant, so many rules and regulations, so many big secret. It's just simple sharanagati. Not to try to see how I can be noticed. By other people. But to always just think that how my service can be accepted. Described before, when we go into the temple, there's two ways to go in. Enter the temple for darshan. One is sudarshan, the other is kudarshan. Kudarshan, the wrong kind of darshan, means to go to see the deities to try to enjoy them. Of course, they look so beautiful. But going to see, it's another kind of sense gratification. Sudarshan is to go before the deities and ask that they please accept my service. To always be looking for something, a way to serve. In the Brahma Samhita, this is described, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaksa Daiva Hridayesha Vilokayanti. The saints always see Shamasundar in their heart, Bhakti Vilochanena, with the eye of bhakti. What does the eye of bhakti mean? The eye of bhakti, bhakti vilochana. What does that mean, eye of bhakti? It's the seva chakshu. It means the eye of service. Instead of looking to see how I can get something out of someone, I'm looking to see how I can serve them. Two different attitudes. One is the attitude that I want to take. The other attitude is I want to give. Bhakti Vilochanena, Premanjanachcharita Bhakti Vilochanena, the eye of devotion tinged with love, with affection. That is what we want. We want to start with the eye of service, and then gradually the eye of service becomes like with mascara, it becomes tinged with prema, with love. Then that will show us Krishna within, not only within myself, but within everyone. Santaksa daiva hridayeshu, in all hearts, not in hridayeshu, in the hearts of everyone, shamasundaram. They see shamasundaram in the hearts of all. So, this verse is, this again, the ultimate reversal. The big change, Prabhupada used to call it the change of heart. When will we have that change of heart? When will we have the moment where we take my body, my mind, my speech, my ego, my senses, and I just put it on the altar and I say, do with me what you will. When will that moment be there? It's called Sharanagati. I was describing the other day how we may be doing everything right, correctly, but if we didn't make the deep decision to engage ourselves as a servant, then still we're going in the wrong direction. Vishaya Vishta Chitta Nam Vishnva Veshak Sudurataha. There's this old verse, Vishaya Vishta Chitta Nam. When our chitta is Vishaya Vishta, when it is filled with the Vishayas, with sense objects, Vishnva Veshak Sudurataha, then how can Vishnu enter into us? How can God manifest Himself in us as long as our mind is filled with the sense objects? Vishaya Vishta Chittana, Vishnva Vesha Sudurata. That's a long way away. For one whose mind is always filled with the sense objects, then connection with Vishnu, that's a long way away. Then the second line goes, he says, just like someone who wants to go to the east but who's traveling to the west. So you have to think, someone wants to go to Bombay and they're in New Delhi. They want to go to Bombay. They go to the station and they get into the train that's going to Calcutta. And the train starts and they're on the way. Then they realize they're on the wrong train. It doesn't matter how much they pray. They have a picture of Bombay, bowing to Bombay, Hare Bombay. Doesn't matter how much they're praying to Bombay, they're in the train rapidly going to Calcutta. This is like someone who wants to go to east, but he's going west. Sudurataha. We can be chanting, we can be bowing, we can be doing all of the things, remembering and up and down. But if we didn't make the right decision, we didn't get on the right train, then actually we're still going in the wrong direction. So to get in the right train means to make the decision that now I'll be your servant. Now I'll serve you rather than asking you to serve me. This is the deep level of decision. That has to be there. If that's not there, then we do so many things, but it's all an appearance. It's all external. And what this means, the deep decision, is that we're actually opening up a way for our original identity, who we really are, to come out. All the time we are like we're like kind of a monster actually. we're like Tower of Babel. We're a building that's built on the wrong foundation. We've built up our personality and who we are and our identity and our prestige and our pride. Everything is built on the foundation was that I am a certain person of a certain, you know, we know my name and my family and my education. And all the time we're building this edifice, this kind of unholy temple. But a real temple has to be built on a different foundation. We have to destroy this temple in a way. We have to bring it down. We have to switch it completely. We have to make a new foundation. The foundation is, I am just now a servant. Na hung vipro na chanadapatir napi vaishyo na shudro na hung varni chata na grihapatir napi. Nanavanasto yatirava kintu pradyan nikinabhanam gopi vato parakamalayo dasa dasanu dasaha. I am not any of these designations. of the varnas or the ashramas, all of these spiritualized material designations. But I am the original servant of the servant of the servant of the feet of the master of the gopis. When you perform deity worship in the temple, you know, there's something when you do ritual to do deity worship. Before you begin, you have to do something called Bhuta Shuddhi. There's a practice called Bhuta Shuddhi. Bhuta Shuddhi means purifying the body, purifying this, whatever the entity is, you have to purify before you begin puja. Na devo deva marchayet. There's a verse that says, one who is not divine cannot worship the divine. Na adeva devam archayet. One who is not divine cannot worship the divine. You have to be spiritualized to worship the deity. You have to be in your spiritual identity. So Bhuta Shuddhi is done before archana. The Bhuta Shuddhi means, there's many ways to do this. One way is you realize the whole body, everything that's sinful goes out. But in the short way, which we do here, Lavodi brings himself back into a spiritual identity. Naham vipro nachanarapatir, napi vaishyo nashyo. I am not this, I am not that, I am not. All these designations are completely repudiated. And one puts himself in the spiritual identity. I am just the servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis. And then you can do worship. If you still think you're some, I'm from this family, if you're worshiping through your ego, it's not going to work. It doesn't happen. So this is just an example. Nadevo devam archayet. To connect with divinity, you must be divine. We are divine. Within the Atma is divine. But if we still think that we are something else, if we still place, if our center of gravity, we can have center of gravity in one of two places. We can either have a sense that I am a spiritual being, an Atma, and you are too, and we see everything in the same way. You know this verse of Lord Chaitanya that Trinadapi Sunichena Sarori Vasahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. One can chant the name of Krishna if there are four qualities present. Must be humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, giving all respects to others and taking none for oneself. What that means, only one who is in the spiritual identity can be those four things, can have those four characteristics. When we actually understand who I am and who you are, it's very easy to respect everyone. If I still think I'm something and you're less or more, if we still see that difference, then it's very hard. It always becomes kind of awkward. Respect to you. How can anyone live that way all day? Constantly adjusting. But if we're in a spiritual consciousness, then I can understand that you are also spirit soul within. Very easy to offer you respects. Very easy to be your servant. We have to overcome the ego. Vishaya Vishna Chittanam Vishma Vishak Sudurataha. We are calling, when we chant Hare Krishna, we are invoking God through His name. But God won't come. It's just a noise. A godless noise. If we're chanting with the ego. Name can't be chanted with the lips. It has to be chanted with the heart. Hare Krishna Mahantra, any mantra, it can't be chanted from the brain. It has to come from the heart. Atak Shri Krishna Namadi Nabaved Grahyam Indriyai Sevon Mukhe Hijivadao Swayameva Swaratyalaha. This is the verse of Rupa Goswami. Atak Shri Krishna Namadi, Shri Krishna Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela, etc. Nabaved Grahyam Indriyai. The name of Shri Krishna, Nabaved Grahyam, may not be accessible, is not available, Indriyahi, through the senses. Shri Krishna Namadi, the name, the Rupa, the Leela, so the name of Krishna is not accessible by the tongue and the lips. And the Rupa of Shri Krishna is not accessible to the eye. Save on mukehi jivado. When the jihwa, the tongue, etc., the tongue and the eye and the ear, when they become save on mukha, when they switch, and instead of trying to take, when they try to serve, then swayameva swaratyadaha, then the name of Shri Krishna appears on my tongue. Then the rupa of Shri Krishna appears to my eye. As long as we're trying to take, we're still trying to enjoy, then Krishna hides, doesn't become visible. Save on mukha. We must become unmukha. Now we're bahir mukha. We have our back to service. Even though we may be in the temple, even though we may have all the markings, still we can be bahir mukha. We can actually have a not really wanting to serve. The whole attitude has to change. Maybe
I have to see what time it is.
No, it's okay. Actually, I have to leave India in a day or two. So I have a lot of things to do, especially today when I wind up. Are there any questions?
Prabhu, in the beginning of the class, you mentioned about the equilateral triangle, where the equilateral triangle where bhakti, avirakti and knowledge, jnana is, it increases the same sum. But what do you exactly understand by knowledge? Like what is a devotee's understanding of knowledge? Does he become very scholarly, or what exactly is do we understand as knowledge?
Knowledge is of two kinds. One kind of knowledge is verbal, conceptual knowledge. The other kind of knowledge is realized knowledge, existential knowledge. Both kinds are referred to. Both kinds. Look, this is just a book with printed words on the page. And because it is what it is, it has a certain sacredness also. But this is not Bhagavatam. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had an unusual definition of Shruti. Shruti means the Vedas. It's a word, a synonym for the Veda. It means that which has been heard. Shruti. So according to some people, there's a book. It's printed. You know, the Rig Veda is there. And this is Veda. That's Shruti. But what is, according to Bhakti Saran Swasti, that's not Shruti. What is Shruti? Shruti is the spiritual sound which is spoken from the mouth of a absolutely pure devotee. Comes out of his mouth and enters the ear and down to the heart of a submissive disciple. That's Shruti. So, actually, when we read the book, when we read this print on the page, this is the gross dimension of the Bhagavatam. This is the stula rupa, the very densest dimension of Bhagavatam. But the higher dimensions of Bhagavatam are when this is recited, when this is heard from the lips of a pure devotee, and then it isn't just in the air, but it enters into the heart. Then this is called sampradaya. Sampradiyate, samyakpradiyate iti. Sampradaya, when something is completely given and then completely received, that's a sampradaya. It's always in the process of being lost too. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's sakale neha mahata yogo nashtah parantapa evam parampara praptam. This was obtained through a parampara, through many years. Sakale neha mahata yogo nashtah parantapa. But after a long time, this parampara, this sampradaya became lost. Ramanujacharya comments in there, comments on that verse, it's through the laziness of the disciples. Through the alasya of the disciples it became lost. So the sound is there coming down, but it doesn't need to be just, it not only needs to be transmitted in a pure form, it needs to be received also. Two poles. So this is the remnant of what was once received, and it's now printed in a book. But to really be the Bhagavatam, it needs to be received from the mouth of someone who is pure, and it also needs to be received by someone who is pure. Then the action is complete. Actually, reading a book is not recommended, because every time we read with our tamas and rajas influenced mind, and even sattva influenced mind, they will mutilate this text. As soon as they read it, they begin to change it in the mind. They begin to mutilate it, to digest it, and turn out something different. As soon as Bhagavatam enters through reading, it becomes mutilated by the mind. So therefore, our sampradaya is very strict about hearing. You don't find in the devotional service, you don't find reading. Shravanam kirtanam vishno, shravanam smaranam parasevanam. Where's reading? It's not there. Hearing and chanting. First comes hearing. So it's important for Bhagavatam to be heard. It's also important for the vakta to have a pure heart, so that the sound of Bhagavatam can go and it can actually touch the heart. Vakta, saraga, diraga. Yeah, there's a verse, I forget exactly how it goes, but vakta, raga, sariga, vakta, sarago, nirago. There's two kinds of speakers. One is saraga and one is niraga. So the saraga means he has material desires. The words spoken by him go into the air, disappear in the atmosphere. Niraga, bhakta, the speaker who's actually purified in his heart, his words go and touch the heart. So we have to consider what Bhagavatam is and what knowledge is. this is contains two types of knowledge. Even the conceptual knowledge here can be revealed gradually by itself. Bhagavatam exists on another plane. This is just the dense form. When we approach the Bhagavatam in the right way, through the right process, then we can realize, understand what the text says. It's like a mystery being revealed. That's one kind of knowledge. But that's still a conceptual knowledge. And then the higher kind of knowledge is a realization, anubhava. So both these kinds of knowledge are automatically produced when we become servants. Vasudeve, Vasudeve, Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahaitukam. When real devotional service, when we really serve Vasudev, the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan Vasudev, Janayati Ashu, immediately is created, is produced, occurs Jnanam and Vairagya. Real Vairagya, real knowledge. Just like I said, Takshi Krishna Namadi Nambave Grahyam Indriyai Save On Mukhehi Jivado. When the tongue and the eye and the ear, when they become tuned to serve, then at once everything becomes manifested. At once everything becomes clear. That's the big secret.
You were mentioning about Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now therefore, that means yesterday also, the other day you were mentioning about cultural maturity, where you see through the facade. Now we also hear once somebody asked Prabhupada, what qualification did we have? Prabhupada said, you had nothing, I made your qualification. So, to come to that platform of seeing through something, that means he's already a past, he must have Yajjihvagre Vartate Namatubhyam. If he has performed all the things before, or is it through the devotee association that a person is able to see through? Which comes first, or how do we understand?
Well, everyone is individual. Everyone is different. Sometimes a person goes through many experiences in life and he realizes he sees through the facade of the material world. And other times, and the spiritual master, association with the spiritual master clinches it. He is able to completely produce a conviction in the person. And other times someone is stumbling along and he meets a spiritual master and somehow or other a change is developed. I was just talking to a Prabhu in Juhu. So he said, Prabhupada came to my house. I was drinking whiskey and I was leading just an ordinary material life. Within 15 minutes, Srila Prabhupada completely cleared my mind. He said, I don't know what happened. My mind was just cleared. So actually, our Acharya, when he comments on this sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, he says that the real cause of the spark of inquiry in the heart is Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastre Koi, Labamatra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. This is Bengali verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi, all the scriptures declare it. Lavamatra sadhu, but only by a moment's association. By only a moment's association of the sadhu, sarva siddhi hoi. We can get all perfection. So, all perfection means not just a raise, a new job next week. Means the spiritual, means that we are being perfected. Something is happening within. Some transformation is taking place within. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna. So can you elaborate a little more on the reading aspect? Because we have been distributing books, we are encouraged by that we must read, and also Prabhupada said, I have written these books for my disciples. So reading should be, is incomplete if it is not heard properly. What do you mean? Can you just...
Prabhupada used to say also, one-eyed uncle is better than no uncle. So, you know, there's a saying, there's a one-eyed uncle. One-eyed uncle, he only has one eye, but he's better than no uncle at all. So that, there's an old verse somewhere like that. Prabhupada often used to quote that, one-eyed uncle, better than no uncle. So reading, we can ask people to read, but actually it's not the ideal. The ideal is to sit and to hear. And actually reading can produce something, but it's not really the process. Process is always to hear. Real reading can only be done at a more advanced stage, when the mind is pure. Srila Prabhupada used to read books. But his reading was much different than our reading. So we can encourage people to read, but we should also be aware that that's not... The process is really to hear. We're encouraged by the Shastra always to have sadhu sangha as much as possible. So sadhu sangha takes many forms. we serve the sadhu also by listening to what he says. If our ear is obedient, then it will listen to what this sadhu is saying, the scripture. That's also service. That's a kind of a service. We're actually serving the transcendental sound that's coming. When we read, it's too easy to become an enjoyer. I was describing this morning three kinds of readers. You know, the Bhakti Sarasvati says three kinds of readers. The first kind of reader takes what he likes and leaves what he doesn't like. What gives him a problem, what is troublesome, he leaves. And he only takes what, it's okay, what I can bring into my life. This is called the bogi reader. And the tyagi reader is a critic. He's always criticizing what he reads. I mean, not even before he reads it, he's looking with a critical attitude. What's wrong with it? Always trying to find fault. This is the second kind of reader. And the third kind of reader is the real reader, and he's looking for how he can benefit from what is being read, what he's reading. Everything in there is thinking, whether it's painful, whether it's not painful, how can I take this and become and improve my life? He's looking for real benefit. It's very painful to read Bhagavatam if we're in the material world. This is a Paramahansa Samhita. It's described as Paramahamsa Samhita. So it's very rough. Tapo divyam kutraka yena sattvam shudyed yasmad brahmasokyam fanantam tapo divyam. To be austere, that is divine. Prabhupada used to quote this verse a lot. Tapo divyam kutraka, O my sons, be austere. We're a little austere when it's comfortable for us. But when it's uncomfortable, then we don't like it so much. Any other question?
Prabhuji, you are in a movement, and that's why you are an association with Srila Prabhupada. You said just now that hearing is an association of devotee is more very, very important. How can we survive in the association of devotee for a long time? What is your realization? Because many people, I mean 27 years in the movement, many people, when I travel around the world, they ask me question, oh, you are Kirtan's disciple, you are still in movement. So what is your realization? I would like to know from you, please.
I'm not the best example to answer that question, but I'm not sure I understand exactly what you mean.
You said just now the association and hearing is very, very essential. Now, how to live in the association of a devotee for many years? What is your realization?
So it depends on what you mean by association with devotees. What do you mean? Sajatiya shaye snigde sadho sangaks patovare. There's a verse by the Rupa Goswami. When he recommends sadhu sangha, associating with saintly persons. But there are two qualifications. Actually, three qualifications. Sajatiya shaye snigde. The sadhu should be sajatiya. He should be of a similar motive, I guess you might say, sajati ashaya. And he should be affectionate towards you, snigde. And he should be better than you, svato vare. He should be vara, better, svato, than yourself. Sajati ashaya snigde sadho sangak svato vare. Three qualities. He should sajati ashaya, snigda, and svatovare. Three qualities. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we should always be have ishtagoshti. We should always meet together to discuss the topics which are we desire to learn about. Ishtagoshti. We always have things that we need to talk about, and always things are coming up. So we should sit with devotees and discuss these. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says that we should that without a pure devotee in the Ishta Goshti, then nothing can happen much. And specifically, there should be someone better than you. So everyone's humble. They say, yeah, of course everyone's better than me. I'm the lowest. But you have to look actually, and you have to find someone that you think is better than you, more developed than you, then you should associate with that person. Svato bare. Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments on this also. He says, if you don't associate with someone better, what's the use? So association with devotees, we have to find the right association. If someone's a devotee, they will be affectionate towards you. If they don't have a lot of agendas, other agendas, if they have Krishna's service as their agenda, they'll also be in the same line mentality as you. And next, they should be better than you, more advanced than you. You can look up and you can ask them, you can feel that you're receiving food from them. If we mix with someone and we don't get any water to drink, then we'll just die, like a plant without water. The Christians have a word they use. They say when they go to church, they get living water. And if there's no living water, then it's just ringing bells. There's no food. So from association, from devotees, there's a kind of nutritious food, nutritious water that you get. You should receive that from devotees. If you're not, you have to find the right association. It's very important. Devotional creeper is a plant. It needs to be watered. It needs to have Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Parasevanam, all these elements of bhakti are water for the plant. But that has to be real water. It has to have some minerals, some vitamins in it. Then we must always look for the... Just like I said, this book is the dense edition of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even you recite the words, the shloka, it has to have some life. Prana ache jar shehetu prachar. This is a song by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Prana ache jar, who has life, shehetu prachar, he can preach. If there is no life, then there's no preaching, is just some noise. You can put on a record player. So life should be there. What is life? We have to find these things out. Living water. Pran ache yar. Se hetu prachar. Then there can be some preaching take place. We should do some market research. We have to find devotees. As devotees we should meet with. Because the Ishta Goshti, to fulfill our heart's desire, we're coming to fulfill our heart's desire. We're not just... Shri Bhaktivinoda Thakur said one time, he said, Bhagavatam is not the kind of book that you work all day, you come home, you have a good dinner, and then you sit in your easy chair, you sit back and read Bhagavatam. He has some description like that. He says, that's not the kind of book Bhagavatam is. Yeah, you have a good meal, you're fig full, turn on the light, sit back in the chair, read by no. We have to somehow become accessible to the Bhagavatam. Any other question?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, I have a question. It is told that there are two Bhagavats, Bhakta Bhagavat and Granta Bhagavat. although Bhakt Bhagavat is a living example and most practical, it's equally stressed that Granth Bhagavat should be also, the association should be taken from Granth Bhagavat also. Like Prabhupada gives in, he phrases the word, he phrases the sentence in the Upadeshamrita, telling that one should also hear from the scriptures, and also I have heard from devotees that constantly everyone should read every day, actually study every day from the scriptures, which is like associating with the Lord, because Lord and His words are not different. And also considering that many different religions, like they worship like Quran and Granth Sahib, they worship them as the Lord themselves. So Bhagavat, Quran and Lord is not different. This is what I have heard. And associating with the Bhagavat, Quran by everyday studying them is also very important. Like Guru, Sadhu and Shastra should be considered. Can you please comment? And one more question connected to this is, what is Buddhi Yoga?
So you're right. So reading is good, but it's not ideal. Everything has to be done in sadhu anusarana. There's two words, anukarana and anusarana. Anukarana means imitating. Anusarana means following. The ideal is if the guru is always present, if some sadhu is always present, then you're always hearing. If no sadhu is present, read. But if sadhu is present, then you should be hearing. This is the ideal. Just another thing about that, it's just, it depends on the presence of Srimad Bhagavatam and any divine power, any divine entity. The presence of divinity, it depends upon the reception of our sense, of our attitude. Sevon mukehi jivados, swayameva svaratiraha. Even with a spiritual master, Prabhupada used to quote an example and said that even a spiritual master, some of the servants, they are very close to the guru, but just like bed bugs on the body of the king. So much depends upon our attitude. We can say, this is a form of God. Okay. But how are we related to it? That's another question. When the Buddhi is pure, then the Buddhi can reflect the presence of the soul. But the Buddhi, everything has to be set in place for the Buddhi. Buddhi has to be, mind has to be peaceful. The senses have to be controlled. And then the Buddhi can act as a mirror, reflecting the wisdom of the soul, of the Atma. Well, that's Buddhi Yoga. Any other question?
Prabhuji, I have one more question.
Yes.
It's a great pleasure actually to associate with you. We had only heard about you in the books, and you're like a living legend for us. Can you tell us about what international conference which you're going to do about, and about yourself?
That's just my work that I'm doing, but anyways, it's not so important. Just a conference in maybe in Delhi or something, but it's an interfaith. Any other question?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very nice provision from your side. Prabhuji, I would like to ask, as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu 500 years ago, he incarnated and he distributed Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and afterward Srila Prabhupada distributed that throughout the world. And even the Prabhupada wrote in his Bhagavad Gita as it is, that there are five constitution positions, the Sankhya-ras, Dasya-ras, then I cannot explain in all this. One is a friendship, then another is parental, and another is conjugal love. Prabhuji, I would like to know, as even in, I read in some scripture that Kaljuga Dharma is Hare Krishna Mahamudra, chanting holy name. So I would like to know, Prabhuji, that which is main bhakti? Is it the chanting holy name, all these five constitutional positions? Can you answer me this, Prabhuji? Hari Bol.
What is the process? Okay, what's the other question? Next question.
Hello. My question is that whether you want to worship God or any in any work, you need faith. So how to bring faith in oneself? If I want faith, when I have lots of doubts, then how to be firm, how to bring the faith in myself? You got it?
How to bring faith to worship God?
The question is regarding faith.
Faith is only accumulated through experience. Faith is only accumulated through experience. And it described how one has different kinds of experiences, and that gradually builds into what's called faith. But ultimately, one meets a spiritual master, and the spiritual master actually sort of puts a frosting, actually gives the real key to the position. The spiritual master gives sambandha jnana, the knowledge of how everything relates to everything else. And without that knowledge, the faith is always a kind of sentimentality. So with knowledge, faith is called this Shastriya Shraddha. And the other is Laukika Shraddha. The Laukika Shraddha, so someone, you know, we have faith in all kinds of things. In our, it's like a faith without any training. You know, every school has training. So if you're in a sampradaya, if you're in a religious tradition, it's the difference between someone who's in a tradition and someone who's not in a tradition. Somebody in a tradition, they get some principles beginning and some ethics and gradually, and then they get some training and they actually get a whole picture. And they can see, they really have a more comprehensive view. And someone who doesn't have that training, they see a temple and they have a little... It's good to bow down here, it's good to give it, but they have no idea of the place of God, of the world, the living entity. There's someone wrote a book in the U.S. called Is Your God Too Small? And for most people, their conception of God is just like an angel. In the West, there's a concept of guardian angel. So everyone thinks that I have a guardian angel somewhere helping me, looking after me. People wear a little cross or something for their saint or God to look after them. Even taxi cab drivers here, everyone has a Shirdi Sai Baba or something in their cab. They feel they're protecting me. It's kind of like an angel. But the concept of God is as the ultimate reality. Janma yasya yataha. That from which everything is coming. It's a much wider concept. The Vedanta concept of Brahma, the absolute. It's not just someone protecting me to give me something. So, Laukika Shraddha is like that, kind of a sentimental feeling, God protects me. And then many times it's very good. If someone has a simple faith that God is protecting me. But their understanding of God is not very comprehensive. Shastriya Shraddha or Tattvika Shraddha, faith according to the principles of the universe, then that's something else again. The spiritual master, when he meets you, he opens up a way for you to understand the Sambandha Jnana. Divyam Jnanam Yato Dadyat Kuryat Papasya Samshayam. Divyam Jnanam Yatoda. Because he gives divine knowledge, because it gives divine knowledge, it's called Diksha, initiation. It gives you the understanding of how everything is linked together and your place in it. But that's a very different kind of faith. About Hare Krishna mantra, Mahamantra, and the I don't know what difference is being made between rasas.
Is it rasas?
Rasas and chanting. Chanting, taking the name of God, is a form of associating with divinity. That association can be in five different ways, five different modes, five different levels. It can be as a servant, can be as a, in all the different rasas. So you shouldn't see chanting, anything we do can be done with the attitude that I'm just a humble servant, I'm a friend, I am a parent, I'm a lover. These are all different ways, different bhavas, different modes of doing the same thing. Chanting is an activity. Rasas are modes in which, are mellows in which one performs that activity. Thank you very much. I probably should go. Please forgive me. Any other question? One other question? Yes?
Hare Krishna Guruji. You told about service, that our service should be egoless. That we should not have any, me should not be there while serving. But Prabhuji, presently in our half-baked state, we are, means, neither too we are just beginning to hear what service is, what we should do. And we come to the temple, sometimes we are given some little seva, some menial service here and there. So, even at that time, sometimes it's a tendency to get blown up, ki, yes, I'm doing things, I'm beginning to do something, I'm becoming somebody. So, how to avoid that means in this present state while we are doing some little skit or something for the temple. So, in that consciousness, what should be our mood continuously so as to remind us and nullify our false pride that, yes, you are something. And what exactly should be our mood?
So getting rid of the ego is a gradual process. I quoted this verse the other day that Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribhireda Manam Adakpuman Naivar Hatya Vidatam Vai Thvam Akinchan Lagocharam. It's from the prayers of Kunti Devi that our mother, our madness is constantly being edamana, is being increased by Janma, Aishwarya, Shrota and Shri, by our family, our pride in our family, by our vamsha, by our Aishwarya, by our wealth, by our Shrota, by our education, our talents, and Shri, by our beauty. Janma, Aishwarya, Shrota, Shri, Bir, Edamana, Balakpuman. Our mother be increased by these things, and therefore, Naivar Hatya Bidatam Vai, I am not able to call upon you, really. Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. You are available to those who are Akinchana, to those who have nothing. So, the Bhav, Nishkinchana, Akinchana. How do we get that? How do we get there? From being Kimchana. I'm Kinshara. I am something. Who am I? You know, this is described in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, in the 16th chapter. I will do. I will. We always say, I have the power. We have to put ourselves in the position of being always receptive to the under Krishna's will. The Bible says one place, acknowledge Him in all your ways. Whatever we do, we should be thinking, "What God is watching me. God is, by His permission." The more we try to be a servant of the servant, the safer we are. As soon as we think that I am it, I'm the master. Then we go down. We have to work like the master sometimes, but we should not think we are the master. We have to juggle two things. We have to work as though we are the master. We are competent, but then at the same time, we should not think we are the master. This is Krishna consciousness. Being conscious of Krishna. How to do it? Trinarapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna. How to think that we are more humble than a blade of grass? How to think? Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he comments on this verse, he says, actually, the infinitesimal, the paramanu, you know, the jiva soul is said to be the size of a paramanu. Very, very, very small. In fact, it's the smallest possible thing. So he says, actually we are smaller than a blade of grass. Bhaktivinoda says, actually it shouldn't be hard for us if we think about it. We are smaller than a blade of grass, really. And then how to think of that? Sometimes when you're with a group of people chanting, you become more apt to think that I am just one of many. I'm not trying to make a place for myself. I'm just happy to serve and be part of the service of the whole. Actually, communist ideal was okay, it was very nice in some ways. I used to meet the Chinese who came from China. And they are so used to having the state as the big entity. And they used to just think of a service of the state. It used to be pretty charming to meet the Chinese sometimes who came to the U.S. They were so transparent and they didn't put on airs. They're very plain. In a way, we should be like that. We should think of ourselves as part of a sangha that is serving Krishna, and we are just happy to be somehow associated with it. As soon as we think that I'm the servitor, no. This was Radharani, even the 10th kid Radharani, I have Krishna. Whoop, Krishna's gone. As soon as you think that I have Krishna in my hand, gone. In moment by moment, this is the razor's edge, Moment by moment, we have to have a second by second attitude that we are always at the service of Krishna, and that we're always under Krishna's will. What will he, as soon as we want to assert, I should do this. Anyway, Krishna consciousness is a gradual process to build that consciousness, to become a kinchana. I said the other day, when Prabhupada said, simply chant Hare Krishna. What is simply chanting Hare Krishna? To simply chant Hare Krishna means Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapisa Hishnuna, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniya. So that is simply chanting Hare Krishna. Simply chanting. Not that I am a devotee. We have to be a kinchana. Chanting simply chant means to be a kinchana chanting. Bhakti Siddhanta used to say, his definition of sankirtan was samyak kirtan. Actually, sam has two meanings. Sam can mean together, congregationally. We're chanting as a body. He always said that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established sankirtan, chanting as a body. Not just myself chanting as a body. And two, samyak kirtan. Samkirtan is samyak, means with all of myself, with my mind, with my senses, with my everything is chanting. Totally absorbed in chanting. This is simply chanting. But we, when we chant, part of us is over there and we're thinking. We have to let that go. When you come to worship the deity, when you go in, anyone who's serious, they let it go. They are just, every word is a prayer and everything is done with such, devotion. I'm in front of the deity. We should be like that all the time. Have to actually switch to a different identity. So that's Krishna consciousness. That's the trick. Sometimes it takes a crisis in our life to make that switch. Sometimes at the end of many long experiences we take that switch. But there has to be a switch in our life where we surrender a sarvadharman parityajya mame kamshana ahankvang sarva moksha yashami mashushaha. We have to come to a point where we trust Krishna. Mashucha, we're not worrying. We're not worrying that Krishna will not catch us. Mahashuchaha means you give everything to me, I will take care of you, don't worry about it. We're still worrying. Maybe I have to land on my own two feet somehow. So, it's very easy at the same time, maybe not so easy. It depends on every individual. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.